are listening to the Classic Sermons podcast from PreachTheBible.org, a ministry of North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California. You will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival sermons from great preachers of the past. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, the second chapter. Luke chapter 2. Your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1074. We'll begin with the 42nd verse and read responsively through verse 52. Luke chapter 2, verses 42 through 52. The text verse is the 49th verse. As our custom is to do, let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And let's finish on the 52nd verse together. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And let's pray. Father, you've given us a wonderful opportunity this morning to be in this place where a lot of folks would like to be, scattered across this nation and around the world. Many thoughts are turned toward this place. We get to be here. Thank you. Thank you for our preacher. Thank you for faithful, godly people who come, and thank you for a faithful, godly man of God. Now we pray that you'd help us to give our attention deliberately and help us to come away with something from thee today. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we come now to the preaching of thy book. I pray you'd help me to be used of God today. That's all I ask. Help me to be used of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. May I ask you to do something for me that I seldom ask you to do? I ask you this morning to be serious with me. I certainly enjoy humor, and you know that. And there are times in most of my sermons, there are times when I insert a bit of humor, sometimes on purpose and sometimes spontaneously, sometimes successfully and sometimes unsuccessfully. But this morning, I'd like to ask you to be serious with me. I'd like to ask you to look right this way, and for the next 30 minutes or so, I'd like for you to listen on purpose as I talk to you on the subject of the real Christmas Day. I think to some of you, this will be revolutionary. I know if you listen, it'll be a blessing to all of us, even as it is to me. I want you to follow me very, very, very carefully. I doubt if there'll be a bit of laughter this morning. I doubt if there'll be a bit of I won't preach with a boisterous manner this morning at all. I ask you to listen to me carefully on purpose and just get about character, give me your attention today. I want to talk to you about something that's very, very precious and yet very, very sad and very, very wonderful in the Bible. Let me tell you the story. It appears that Jesus was being disobedient. You well remember the story. He and his family, his mother, her husband Joseph, his foster father, stepfather, had gone with their family to Jerusalem. Now make yourself stay awake on purpose now. Have enough characters, stay awake on purpose now. And this, we're not talking about a mother and a father and a couple of three boys that are girls here. We're talking about huge group would travel together. A huge group. I'm talking about grandmother and grandfather and the aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters and cousins and so forth would all travel together. That was the time of the Passover. And it's time when for every good Jewish family to go up to Jerusalem. Now, up was not north in those days. Up was to Jerusalem because Jerusalem was the highest place in the land of Canaan. And so everybody went up to Jerusalem, to the high place in Israel. Well, Jesus went there with his mother. The Bible says his parents. Of course, you understand that Joseph was not his father. The seed that was implanted in the womb of Mary was planted by God, the Holy Spirit, and God was his father. Even physically, he was his father. So, Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the family all go together up to Jerusalem. Now the feast of the Passover, you know, that the Passover was the time every year, started back in 1492 B.C., every year, when each family would choose on the 10th day of the month, they would choose a lamb. They would choose a male lamb. And this is very important that you hear this part of the sermon. They would choose a male lamb without blemish. They would keep that male lamb up from April the 10th to April the 14th, corresponding with our April 10th to 14th, to be sure that that lamb was without blemish. On the 14th day of the first month, there, April was the first month, they would take that lamb and they would kill that lamb. Then they would take the blood of that lamb and they'd sprinkle the blood of that lamb. This was the first Passover. In 1492, the blood of that, let me see, the blood of that lamb on the doorpost and lintels of the house. Then that night when the death angel came over, the death angel took in death every firstborn of every family that did not have the blood applied. Don't leave me now. This is laying the foundation for what I'm going to say. Now then, for these 1490 odd years, they had the Passover in all the homes. But they likewise had the feast of the Passover, and they went up to Jerusalem. It is now over. They're going back. Mary and Joseph all of a sudden realize that Jesus is not in the group. Now, Jesus is 12 years of age. They realize that Jesus is not in the group. Now, for one whole day, they did not know. They did not miss him for one whole day. Now, you say, how in the world could a mother and dad not know their child was there for a whole day? Because it was a great group of people. No doubt several hundred people went in one group, and they assumed he was there. But after a day, they missed him, and they found he was not there. Now, Mary and Joseph were very troubled. In fact, the Bible would use a little stronger language than that. They're very upset. And so they've been gone for a day now from Jerusalem. They turn and go back to Jerusalem, and for 3 days, they miss him. Now, finally, they find him. Where is he? Where do you expect to find Jesus? In the temple. That's where he was, in the house of God. And they found him in the house of God. And he was there with the educated and learned professors and doctors of law and literature. And he was asking them questions. And they marvel. Why? Because he had not asked such questions before. Mary and Joseph marvel. And Mary was disturbed and said, "Where have you been? Your father and I have sought thee." And Jesus rebuked her with his answer. He said, "What? Know ye not that I must be about my father's business?" What he was saying to her is, "You're my earthly mother, but Joseph is not my earthly father. The heavenly father is my father, and I must be about his business." Now watch carefully. Something wonderful and terrible had transpired in these 3 days. One of the most amazing things, let me show you what had transpired. Tim Jr., would you come up here, please?
you're going to be my son for a few minutes, and I'd be proud to have you for a son. But I want you as my son. I want you to follow what happened. Every Jewish father, when his son was 12 years of age, now you're not quite 12, are you? But we're going to suppose that you're 12 years of age. Every Jewish father, when his son became 12, he would choose for his son his vocation. I admire our Amish friends, some of the old-time Amish friends. When their kids grow up, they know more than algebra and Beowulf and English literature. They know how to make a living. And they're good, hard workers. And while you're busy in the bowling league, they're training their kids. And while you're busy watching the box, they're training their kids, and I admire them. But every Jewish father would take his 12-year-old son, and this is what he would say. Tim, you're 12 years old now. I bet you wish you were, weren't you? I know I wish I were. You're 12 years old now, Tim, I've chosen your vocation for you. You're going to follow your dad's vocation. You know, I am a drywall. I own a drywall company, and I'm a carpenter as such, and you're going to be likewise in the drywall business. Now, Tim, from this moment forward, everything that you do will be to train you for your life's profession. One of these days, you're going to get married, and one of these days, you're going to have children. And you're supposed to support. The Bible says you're supposed to support your wife and your children. And so to do that, I'm going to train you for a profession. Now, Tim, you'll be going to school, of course, to learn. But you'll be also going to work with me, for I, too, am in the drywall business. And you'll be going to work with me. And starting now, on your 12th birthday, everything you do will point to the day when you become an adult and when you enter the drywall business. You understand that, Tim? So from that day, at the age of 12, from that day on, the Jewish boy was pointed toward his profession and the purpose in life that his father had chosen. His father had chosen his vocation. And everything in life pointed to that from then on. Thank you, Tim. Now then, Jesus was 12. Are you listening? He was 12 years of age. Look at me. Jesus was 12 years old. It's time for his father to tell him the purpose of his life. Since Joseph was not his father, Joseph could not take Jesus and say, you're going to do this, thus and so, because now Joseph thought he could, but Joseph could not do that. So listen carefully. When Jesus was 12 years of age, his heavenly father explained to him what his earthly life was all about. Now, let me picture it. The Heavenly Father, and by the way, what better place could this be than Passover? Because the Passover pictured what Jesus had come to do. And so, the Heavenly Father, let's picture it for a few moments. The Heavenly Father says to the Son, Son, and Jesus was always obedient to the Father. He says to the Son, I want to tell you, now up until this moment, I do not think the child Jesus knew why he was there. I do not think that Jesus knew until he was 12 years old that he came to die. I do not think that he knew about the cross. He knew someday the Messiah would come. He knew someday that the Messiah would go to the cross. He had read Isaiah 53. He had read Psalm 22. He had read the Old Testament and full well knew that someday the Messiah would come and the Messiah would die for the sins of the people. Are you listening to me? But he did not know that he was the one. At the age of 12, his father said to him, come back to Jerusalem. And Jesus left the entourage of his family and went back to Jerusalem. And there the heavenly father said, son, do you remember that Passover lamb that just was sacrificed? And Jesus said, yes, father. He said, do you know what that lamb represents? And he said, yes, father. It represents the fact that someday the Messiah is going to come. Do you know, son, what the blood that was shed represents? Yes, it represents the blood of the Messiah who's going to die for us. I know Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22, other passages. I know about the 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy and all that. And the father said, son, you brace yourself now. We're talking about 12-year-old boy. We're talking about a junior high. We're talking about a seventh grade boy. We're not talking about a 21-year-old man. We're talking about a 12-year-old boy who's not gone to high school yet. And the father said, son, I want to tell you, you are that Messiah. Can you imagine how he felt? I mean, I, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of the carpenter, at least stepson of the carpenter, I am the Messiah, and the Heavenly Father said, son, that's why you came. You see, son, you were born of a virgin. Your mother did not know a man when she conceived. And that's why I am your father. And son, from this day forward, you will know that's what you came for. Just as that lad there was told a while ago, he would be in the revival business, the Heavenly Father, when Jesus was 12, he told him why he came. He came to die on the cross. He came to save sinners. He came to keep you out of hell. And the Heavenly Father looked down and said to him, son, I've got to tell you your life's work. Do you mean, Father, I've got to go to the cross? I'm the one that's going to die on the cross. I'm the one that's going to feel stripes on my back. I'm the one whose hands and feet will be pierced. Yes, son. You're the one. On this day was the real Christmas day. This is the day when the weight of eternity was placed on the shoulders of a 12-year-old lad. Now, can you imagine for a few minutes what it was like? He goes along and remembers the Passover lamb they had just seen slain. And he said, all these years in the synagogue and in school, I've been taught that someday the Messiah would come. And I knew he would die. Now, all of a sudden, that Passover lamb, I realized, I am the Passover. I am the real Passover. And that 12-year-old boy has to face the reality of it. And for 23 years, makes me feel good and look around and see the choir about to go to sleep. For 23 years, listen, 23 Passovers. 23 times the lamb was killed. 23 times he saw his father take a lamb without blemish. 23 April 10th. 23 April 10, 11, 12, and 4, 13, and 14. He saw that lamb. He saw his father on the 14th day kill that lamb. Can you imagine how he felt when he saw that knife pierce that lamb? Oh! That's me someday. There was a time that I'm talking about a teenage lad. Look, I'm talking about a junior higher and a high schooler and now a young man. I'm talking about every year Jesus remembers what the Father said on what was his Christmas when he... Wait a minute now. The Bible says he willingly offered himself. We're talking about, 12 years old. Some of you 12 years old won't give up your rock music. We're talking about a 12-year-old lad who had to say yes or no to the Father's request for him to die on a cross. I happen to think that Christianity is for 12-year-olds as much as it is for 35, 40, 50-year-olds. I happen to think that junior highers ought to be as dedicated to God as grandfather. I happen to think that teenagers ought to pray as much and read their Bible as much and live as clean a life. But you say, we're just kids. But my Bible said, every one of you lay be a living sacrifice. So Jesus, can you imagine for those years? He goes to the synagogue. He sits there in the synagogue. And the rabbi stands up to read. Look at me. The rabbi stands up to read. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And that lad, can you imagine it? Think what he suffered for you. I'm not talking just about Calvary. I'm talking about a teenage lad. He knew every time he heard the rabbi read, He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shepherd is dumb. And Jesus said, that's me. I've got to die. And the time he heard the 22nd Psalm read, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He looked down and said, I know that's going to happen. My Father, he's going to forsake me. And I'm going to be hung on the cross without my God and separated from my Father for the only time in history. I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, everything we have ought to be given to a Savior who did that for us. Can you see him? I don't want this mic.
I'm going to use the illustration.
Can you see him in the carpenter shop? Can you see a 13-year-old boy in the carpenter shop with a hammer in his hand? Can you see him as he puts a nail in a piece of lumber and as he hits that nail? Every time he does it, he feels a pain in his own hands. I can't understand God's people. I don't understand the kind of Christianity that won't let God have everything. I don't understand that. I don't understand how anybody could feel the sickness of such love and the eternal life that was bought by Jesus. But as a lad, 12 years of age, it suddenly dawned on him, he was the Messiah. And for 23 long years, in his teenage years, in his junior high and high school years, in his young adult years, every time he picked up that hammer in the carpenter shop and hit the nail, that was the awareness. One day, somebody would pick up a hammer and drive nails in his hands and in his feet. What do you mean? What do you mean not tithing? What do you mean living with a heathen world? What do you mean? Hey, you say, but I'm young, I've got a right to my youth. He had a right to his too. But the truth is, you don't have any right to your youth. You only have a right to do the will of God just like he did. By the way, when we talk about being Christ-like, we're talking about being Christ-like all the way through, from childhood all the way through to adulthood at the cross. Every time you picked up that hammer, every time the family circle gets together and 22nd Psalm is read, can you imagine how the tears roll down his cheeks? The Bible says he endured the cross, despising the shame. He didn't walk to the... Physically, as a man, nobody would want to go to a cross. Nobody will be stripped naked. Nobody will be beaten with a cat of nine tails. Nobody would want to be a public spectacle, especially somebody who never sinned. What, for example, if you had that in front of you? You folks who've had loved ones who had terminal illness. The doctor said you've got a year. And you waited. And every time you looked at them, you knew it was going to happen. I recall when we stood beside my mother and then Mrs. Howes' mother. We knew each one of them at the time. They could not live long. And every time they'd take a breath, we'd wonder if they'd breathe again. Can you imagine a 13-year-old boy and a 12-year-old boy and a 14-year-old boy, a teenage lad? Can you imagine him going through that? Hey, he did it for you! Put on this second-class Christianity. Only on this selfish kind of a life. What of the whole realm of nature mine? That were present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine. Demands my life, my soul, my all. And demands yours too. Can you imagine a Savior walking beside a herd of sheep? He sees those sheep out there grazing in the field. And he said, that's what I am. That's what I am. One day I'll be led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shepherd is dumb. That's what I am. Can you imagine him watching a lamb every morning and evening being taken to the morning and evening sacrifice? Can you imagine as he sees the people taking their lambs to sacrifice and all of a sudden he realizes, I am that lamb. Can you imagine on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest took the blood of that innocent lamb and took that blood inside the Holy of Holies and sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat and said, and sprinkled there and came back and said it finished. Can you imagine how Jesus looked at his own veins and said, the blood that flows through those veins right there, one of these days will be spilled, and I myself will take that blood on the mercy seat in heaven, and that blood will be in heaven. But before it gets there, I've got to shed it. I've got to die. Every day the little boy gets up, I've got to die. 13 years old, I've got to die. 14 years old, I've got to die. 15 years old, I've got to die. Can you imagine going through high school with that on your mind? Other kids are talking about their new houses. Other kids are talking about their profession. Other kids are talking about having nice conveniences. Other kids are talking about some luxury. Jesus, what is your future? He couldn't tell them what his future was, but every time they discussed what their life work was going to be, he knew what his life work was, to die, to die, to die. All those years. The Bible says he endured the cross, despising the shame. Don't you think for a minute he said, boy, praise God, I'm the Messiah. Oh no, he despised the shame. He endured the cross. No wonder. The Bible says the joy that was set before him. Let me explain what that means. Here's Jesus. He's heading toward the cross. The cross is right there behind that pulpit. Here's Jesus. He's heading toward the cross. He sees it. At 12, he sees it. Every day he sees it. Every lamb he sees reminds him of it. Every holy day reminds him. Every Passover day. Every day of atonement. Every time he hits the wheels the hammer in the carpenter's shop. He sees it. He sees it. And now there it is. It's time to die. And the Bible says he despised. He endured the cross, despising the shame. But for the joy that was set before him, what was that joy? That joy got over there. Because he said this temple, meaning his body, would be destroyed, but he raised again after 3 days. And Jesus knew after 3 days he was going to come out of the grave and live forever and go back home where he was with the Father. And so the joy that was set before him, there's the joy. There it is. And so I'll endure the cross because I love Jack Hiles. I love Ray Bordway. I love Keith McKinney. I love Roy Moffitt. I love Jeff Owens. And the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised and ashamed, knowing that 3 days and 3 nights his body would be in the grave. But up from the grave he arose. He endured the cross, despising the shame, but for the joy that was set before him. And then, on the cross, he knew what was going to happen when he was betrayed by Peter, or Judas. When Judas is scared, betrayed him. Peter grabbed his sword and said, you'll not take him, and tried to cut off the head of one of the soldiers. The soldier ducked like that and he got his ear. Jesus put it back on. Jesus said, Peter, you know what I've got to do. I've got to go to the cross. Let's go back over here at 12 when his father told him what he had to do. I wish I could reach out this morning and let you grasp this. I wish you could understand how much he loved you. I'm talking about his 12-year-old boy. He loved you. As a teenager, he loved you and willingly offered himself as a 12-year-old boy. He sees it. And he sees it again. And he keeps on. He keeps on. Every lamb, every turtle dove, every oxen, every pigeon, every holy day, every scripture of the Old Testament that had to do with Calvary, every prophecy concerning him, he knew. He could have told the soldiers what to do. He could have told the soldiers, get the whip and beat me. That's what I came to do. He could have told the soldiers, get the nails and get the hammers and drive them ahead. He knew what was going to happen. Listen, that's one reason why he was slain before the foundation of the world. He died to you every morning. He got up in the morning and knew he had to die. He died again and again and again and again and again. That's why the Bible says he's freshly slain. Now he comes to the cross. Judas betrays him. He's beaten. He carries the cross up Golgotha. The nails are in his hands and feet. His body is beaten so you couldn't even tell it was a human body at all. Crown of thorns on his head. And now comes the worst part of all. The Heavenly Father turns his back on him. Jesus is there on the cross for the only time in eternity when the fellowship of the Father is broken. No wonder when it was all over, no wonder he shouted, "It is finished! It's all over." Did you ever have surgery coming up? Serious surgery, maybe. You knew it was going to come. You knew it was going to come. You knew it was going to come. You didn't know if it was malignant or not. And all of a sudden, it's all over and the doctor comes in. You wake up, the doctor says, all the tests are fine. You're going to be okay. And you say, it's over. It's over. That's what Jesus said. What I've been dreading for 23 years, it is finished. And ever since he was 12, he knew what he was supposed to do. What's the lesson for me? Just as God had a purpose for Jesus, he had a purpose for my life. He says, take up that cross and follow me. It's not talking about going to the cross and being crucified. He's talking about the cross was the will of God for his life, and I'm to pick up the will of God for my life and do God's will for my life. Now, I'm true when I say this. Listen carefully. Those of you that never trusted him, those of you that have never said yes to Christ, you don't know you'd go to heaven if you died. I just want to remind you what he did for you. Father, I'm only 12. I know, son. But at the age of 12, we fathers are supposed to tell our boys what their theme, what the purpose in life is all about. And son, you are the Passover lamb. You are the scapegoat of the Old Testament. You are the brazen serpent of Numbers. You are the lamb of Isaiah 53. You are the sacrifice of Psalm 22. You are the Messiah. And for you, he said, I will. And every waking moment of his life, I will. 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 It is finished. And that day when he was 12, when the Heavenly Father told him what he came to do, was the first real Christmas day.
Thank you for listening to the Classic Sermons podcast from PreachTheBible.org, a ministry of North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California. To listen to many more powerful sermons, visit our website, PreachTheBible.org. If you enjoy Christian music and programming, visit KNVBC.com for Christian music you can trust.